You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The word for this week and last week is extravagance. Last week we covered the richest woman in Africa, funneling state funds into her super yachts and art collections. This week we're talking about the new University of Auckland Vice-Chancellor Dawn Freshwater being given a $5 million Parnell mansion as part of her employment package. The mansion is allegedly also going to be used for university events. But I thought they had the $30,000 Northern Club membership to do that. And the newly refurbished Vice Chancellor's office, surely that would be a great place to network, wouldn't it? Anyway, the elegant mansion doesn't look too shabby. I'd quite like a visit myself. Meticulously manicured gardens, a lap pool, and former Prime Minister John Key as a neighbour. Isn't the university supposed to be poor? That's why they're cutting our arts libraries, right? Anyway, President of the AUSA, George Barton, came in today to talk to me in person, my first in-person interview. We chatted about the $5 million home, how we can keep this sort of behaviour and management, just keep them in check. Yeah. So first question, who exactly is the new Vice-Chancellor, Dawn Freshwater? I did some research on her, and she's sort of like, you know, first female leader of this years-old institution, came from a humble upbringing in a coal mining town. But I guess, have you met her, and what does a $5 million mansion have to say about her?
I think that's a really great question. I've not met Dawn personally yet, although I'm certain I will meet her. So my understanding is she has been an academic for the most of her life, and she's come from the University of Western Australia, but I might be corrected on that. The point you raised about the $5 million house is a really good question. I think, you know, I mean, there's an argument that the university has put forward that this is kind of like a minister or a, you know, a pastor to a parish getting the manse. I mean, I think all we have to say to that is there's a difference between a house and a $5 million mansion. So, I mean, that'll be an awkward question, but a worthwhile question to ask Dawn when she arrives.
So do you think she's going to be revolutionary, or do you think she'll just keep the McCutcheon status quo?
I mean, look, you know, and maybe this is a politician's answer, but at AUSA we seek to engage in good faith with all university leadership. And, you know, to the Vice-Chancellor's credit, you know, there have been vocal differences that we've had with him over a whole range of issues, but we've been able to work with him as well in a number of areas, and that's the attitude that we'll take to working with Dawn Freshwater as well. We are excited by a number of the things that Dawn has done at her previous university. So there's been a stronger student as partners approach in terms of decision making at the university, which is really exciting. She has a really good relationship with her students association there, and of course her academic background in mental health we think is also really exciting as well, particularly at a time where it's very clear to us that mental health is a major issue for our students.
Yeah, so I guess leading on from that answer, how will the AUSA be keeping this sort of extravagant behaviour with spending in check?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I think the only thing we really can do is just hold the university to account on this and basically just say to the university, well, if you're going to do this, it's going to be public. If you're embarrassed about the fact that you're buying a $5 million mansion for your vice-chancellor and that it's going to be public, well, then you need to think again about answering that question. More formally, though, AUSA sits on a number of committees that enable us to have a formal accountability check on the university's spending. So we have a very close relationship with the student representative on council, and council's ultimate the board that governs the university and that the Vice-Chancellor is answerable to. And so through that relationship with the student representative on council, we're able to get an understanding of exactly what's going on here and to be able to relay student concerns, which is that at a time when the university has made a lot of cuts, really unpopular cuts, in the name of, you know, fiscal responsibility, is a $5 million mansion purchase really a wise idea?
Yeah. I guess the main question that a lot of students are worried about is, where is the money coming from? How are they affording this if they're having to close down arts libraries and programs because of lack of funding? If there's lack of funding, why is there money for these kind of extravagances?
Yeah, totally. No, I completely, I have the same questions myself. I mean, if I were the university, I'd probably say that this is, I can imagine that their PR spokesperson might say something along the lines of, this is a one-off asset purchase, whereas the cuts made in those departments were longer-term operational expenses. But I absolutely agree with you and the number of students who say that this absolutely isn't on. You know, we raise fees and we make these cuts in the name of, you know, hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars worth of savings. So $5 million, you know, if we put that in comparison to the libraries that were closed in 2018, it's a fair question to ask.
So do you, as a representative of the AUSA, have any a final comment about what this spending has to say about the management at our university?
I think it speaks to a broader culture that I think is consistent across New Zealand universities, which is that our vice-chancellors are more chief executives than they are public servants. And I think that's a bigger cultural and systemic issue that we need to look at here. Yes, vice-chancellors need to have the managerial experience to be able to operate, you know, what is effectively a $1 billion organisation, if I, you know, read the university's annual report correctly the last time I saw it. But I think, you know, the university needs to take into account that it's student money that's paying for this.
Yeah.
And so I'd like to see more of a return, and I hope that our new vice-chancellor will do that, more of a return to this idea that the university is a public institution, that, you know, far from just balancing its books, it's got an opportunity and a responsibility to be the, you know, to be the critic and conscience of society, the things that it's mandated under the Education Act to be.
Yeah. I actually read an interesting article in the spin-off, I think, and they said if University of Auckland was a business, it would be the top 50 most profitable in the top 50 most profitable businesses in New Zealand, which is pretty crazy. Like, I don't know, do you think this is the trend towards universities in the world? It's just going to be businesses in the future?
Again, yeah, that's a really, really interesting question. I mean, the university, to my understanding, I mean, it has to run a surplus to keep it going, and so it generally aims for a kind of 2-3% surplus, and there are a number of restrictions on the kind of funding that it has, but I think that business approach, I think actually, you know, I mean, to look at it more broadly, the government's got a lot of answers and work to do in this area. You know, if you look at this university, basically the financial model was that the university is incentivized to get bums on seats.
Yeah.
So what happens is they launch a whole range of programs.
Yeah.
They're competing with AUT by creating, you know, the Bachelor of Design and Bachelor of Communications degrees that AUT are doing. And they're doing that in the name of getting more students in. The unfortunate thing is that as they move to create those programs, they're actually taking money away from the fundamental programs that are already here, like arts, like fine arts, for example. And so I think, you know, yes, the university has a lot to answer for, and it needs to remember it's a public institution, but the government as well needs to probably look at, and this isn't, you know, this isn't exciting political stuff, but needs to look at the way that universities are funded. You know, our university doesn't get any per institution level funding. It's all based on the number of students we have. And so it's no surprise that if that's the basis that universities are funded for, that they will eventually become businesses in this way. So yes, the universities have got a lot to answer for, but I think the government's got a lot to answer for as well.
Kiwire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.